Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this highlight from Live the Promise. More on this topic is available on our website at myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible. Thank you.
Self-contempt is in many ways cursing. It is a form of judgment and curse against our body, our heart, our mind, but it is ultimately a way in which our body is ramped up with some of the same biochemicals associated with rage. So if you can imagine just being in rage for hours and hours every day, that's that low level of self-contempt that we hold for ourselves, that we know when we jack ourselves up with being angry at somebody, that we don't think as well, we don't have a sense of calm and peace. So those factors played out relationally, spiritually, and physically. It's a disaster, and it's one of the reasons why the return on investment for evil, you know, you think, how many seconds does it take to sexually abuse a child? Literally, a few seconds. And how long does the aftermath last? It can last literally a lifetime for people, and that's why it's so a matter of such delight for the kingdom of darkness to bring about this kind of harm.
Well, I can't thank you enough for your tireless work to see healing in the lives of those you counsel, Dan. What would you say, and maybe this isn't maybe this is too simplistic of a question, but what are some first steps for the person who needs to be delivered from that self-loathing, self-contempt? Is this a many-layered approach, or are there typical first steps that you take to lead someone out of that place?
Well, I think we cannot change what we don't name. So to admit, literally admit, I have been sexually abused takes so much courage. It is such a first step to be able to say that. And then to actually begin to say, and when, and where, and by whom, how was I set up? So you begin to honor the story with a level of, what was the stage? Where were you abused? What was the context of the grooming beforehand? How did that abuser read you? And often, abusers are brilliant at reading what you lack in the home that you come from, and where you lack delight, they bring it. Where they lack honor, they bring it. And so when they read you, you feel chosen and pursued. It's the very thing you were most made to know in relationship with your parents and with God. And so the abuser is mimicking God, mimicking a good parent, and opening the door to the story so that you've got particularity rather than just abstract categories like, he sexually abused me in the barn. Well, what actually happened in the barn? I don't want to remember. Well, to the degree that you refuse to remember, you allow the vestiges of that harm to remain. But for many people, they've tried to enter the story, but they have not done so in the presence of kindness. And that's bringing us back to that Romans 2 passage. The more you remember in a way that brings more judgment, you're actually reinvigorating, you're recharging the contempt and the harm. So you're re-victimizing yourself. There has to be the presence of growing grief and kindness as you enter more deeply the details of the harm. Without that kindness, re-victimization is an almost certainty.
Thank you so much for listening. Your support makes this podcast possible. Information is available up on our website at myfaithradio.com.